First of all, thank you everyone for coming out. I hope this will be a lively and interesting conversation that you yourself will participate in with our guests, our panelists today. Again, welcome to Louisville Public Media. Let's begin just by introducing our panelists. To my immediate right is Papa Gay. He came to Louisville in 1997 on the advice of a friend who told him Louisville was a nice place to live and had affordable school and a place to go to school. Noticing he and others wanted the comforts of home, but West African food was almost impossible to find here in Louisville. He now owns African Millennium Market in the Highlands neighborhood. Ladies and gentlemen, Papa Gay.
Thanks.
Sitting next to him is Kadiatou Jala. She is originally from Sierra Leone, where she immigrated with her family to Gambia. She moved to Louisville in 1998. She is the owner of Masha'Allah, a West African restaurant located in Louisville's Butuel neighborhood. To my immediate left is Eddie Momri. He is originally from Morocco. While he was working on a cruise ship there, he met his wife, Joanne, who lived in Louisville. He eventually joined her in 2007. He opened Road to Morocco, which was a restaurant in downtown Louisville. He is now a full-time professor at Sullivan University, where he teaches hotel and restaurant management. Next to him is Dr. Cedric Francois. He is from Belgium originally. He migrated to the United States from Argentina in 1999. For a year, he worked as a cruise ship physician before settling in Louisville. He is the owner of Apellis Pharmaceuticals, his second drug company, which addresses chronic inflammatory diseases. So, as a first question, I wanted to ask really all of you, coming here to Louisville, I think Dr. Francois, we talked about this during our interview. Usually when people talk about the United States from foreign countries, they talk about the coasts. They talk about New York, L.A. They don't really talk about the meat of the country in the middle. Being, I guess, what we can, with, depending on where you're from in Louisville, the Midwest, South, the gateway to the South, what is your perception, I guess, of the United States from your experience here in Louisville? And we'll start with Dr. Francois.
Thank you. You can call me Cedric.
So, no problem, Cedric.
Yeah, well, I mean, I didn't know where Louisville was when I came here the first time. Actually, it was I had heard about it some places, but I mean, in Europe, we don't talk a lot about other places than the coasts. And when I came here, I was really surprised to find such a dynamic. I guess what surprised me the most was how heterogeneous the population was here. I mean, I thought you got to understand in Europe, you have all these countries. And every country has like a very specific identity that, you know, now it mingles more, but at the time it was pretty distinct. And then here, you know, I thought, you know, people in Kentucky were going to be the same as people in, or different better from people in Ohio, from people in, and to find kind of an incredible mix of different nationalities and different types of personalities and, all mixed together in this very, interesting population. I found that to be different. So.
Eddie?
Well, thank you for the romantic introduction. And that part played a role in me selecting Louisville. I didn't have a chance, so I met Joanne, and she happened to live here in Louisville. And you're right, people, first thing, they view United States from, of course, based on movies and such, the large cities and such, but the history of immigration, usually people gravitate towards cities or places where people from the same country had immigrated first. So that's like a little comfort zone and such. For me, when I came to visit Joanne for the first time here in Louisville, I fell in love for the second time, you know, with the city, because it is really a small city. I noticed, you know, first time that it had so much to offer, and I remember during the time when I was on the cruise ship, and people would ask me, you know, where is home, and I say I still don't know because I'm on the international waters. Still living on the ship and such, but I think I'm targeting Louisville and told them the story why I might be settling in Louisville, and everyone would go like, "What? Louisville, Kentucky?" So, the fact that the city, small city, 20 minutes, you know, away from the countryside, and still you have recent shows and, you know, Broadway shows and so many different restaurants and such, that encouraged me even more to settle in Louisville.
Papa, what, I guess from your experience, the idea of living in Louisville, Kentucky, as opposed to the coasts, has that impacted your view of this country as a whole?
Well, I think I have to concur with what Eddie said, is that usually when you come to a country, it's more like where you find a cluster of the people from your same background. And already in 97, there was quite a few people from West Africa that had settled in Louisville, mainly from Gambia, Mauritania, Senegal, that already settled in Louisville. And for me, trying to go to school in New York was kind of expensive. So when someone proposed to come to UofL, which was much cheaper, it was, in that sense, an economical decision for me to come to Louisville. But like everybody else, I fell in love with the city, just that small city feel, which New York was, it's a big city. And you really get lost when you first arrive to the United States, and, you know, with that big shuffle and everybody, no one cares, everybody just, you know, going out there on business. And when you come to Louisville, there's a sense of community that you don't see in those big cities. So it really made that decision quite easy for me.
Kariatu?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I could say that I'm the luckiest one of being in Louisville, because it's a lot of good things happened to me when I came to this city. As everybody said, I used to live in New York before I moved to Louisville. One of my friends moved here with her family because she couldn't take the noises and all the crowd in New York. So she told me, oh, just come and see. Louisville is a great town. It's a great city. So I moved to Louisville. And since then, I've been living here for 13 years. I have my parents, which they are here with me. And my husband was living in New York at that time. And he ended up moving with me in Louisville. And as I said, a lot of great things happened to me in Louisville. And I have my friends in the audience too, which is Gary and Griffin. So Louisville is a great town. I have all my four kids was born in Louisville. And I call myself Louisville is my home now.
It appears that from what you all are saying, that the idea of sort of what the sort of small town communal feel, as many Louisvillians we amongst ourselves probably debate about whether we're a small town or are we a small city or a medium-sized city? But that appears to be the thing that sort of drew you in and retained you here. Papa, you mentioned that a little bit about the difference between that, comparing that to the hustle and bustle of New York. Did you find that maybe that was more welcoming for someone who was migrating to the United States to have a city that maybe was a little more welcoming and maybe more communal than a major metropolitan city like a New York?
Well, there's two things to it. First, I think In a major city like New York, a migrant can blend in easily and not be noticed. So, which is kind of a good thing in itself. But also the drawback is that, yes, you are not being noticed, and which kind of causes a problem. Where Louisville, what I found was that, yes, as a migrant, you stand out in the beginning, but not anymore, because I've seen this city growing. The migrant population has been growing so rapidly for the last 5 years. I can see that myself owning a international store. From a customer base of 300, 400, it grew to 1,000. So now we can see that and plus being part of the JLIP with Michael, it really shows that the city is welcoming to migrant population in general. So we're losing that the first problem that we had within New York, where you're not being noticed, you're just someone else as part of the crowd. But now, yes, we are part of the fabric of the city. So, I mean, anywhere I go, it's very unusual that I can be out without meeting someone from a different culture.
Eddie, let me ask you this question, and I think it sort of piggybacks on what Papa was saying earlier. This question of, because Louisville, historically speaking, is one of like a lot of cities in this region, that the dynamic often, as far as demographic is concerned, is black and white. Very rarely do we talk about the Hispanic community, the Asian community, and in this forum we're talking about the immigrant community as a whole. Have you seen that as well, that the Louisville's immigrant population has grown, and has that growth also seen, from a business standpoint, growth in international businesses to the pace in which we've seen the population grow?
I've noticed that, significant growth in terms of the international community. In numbers of individuals, but in terms of businesses, is still that growth is not very, very significant. It's not compared to bigger cities like New York, L.A., Chicago, Nashville. We haven't reached that size of that growth of international businesses, international events, international activities and such. And back to how we look at this town, big town, small town, medium size, could be interpreted in many different ways. Yes, it is a small town that immigrants are, feel gravitated to because there is potential of growing with the town, And on the other side, if you're in New York and you have some sort of a dream to start a business and such, there's one advantage that the locals are more open to whatever concept you have, Moroccan cuisine, international store, something like that. The demographics and psychographic is more prepared for that, which is not the case here. You see, it's almost like Catch-22. It's a good place to grow, but it's going to be a long battle to get where you need to, unless if you have a huge or significant financial support and to sustain, to stay in the business until you gain some sort of a base, clientele base, and so on. And that's based on education, based on familiarity, people with international community, international concepts and niches, and so on.
Yeah, because what you were saying, it's very difficult to keep track. I think the city doesn't even really have that accurate of a number of the immigrant populations in the city. But it seems what you're saying is that while this may be an attractive place for people to live, to go to school, because it's affordable, and Louisville always is really known for its affordability, it's very different than translated into a growth of businesses keeping pace with that maybe population. Is that because, and I want everyone to chime in on this one, is that because it's really just more of an issue of access, or maybe more personal responsibility on the immigrants who come here themselves? Or is that an issue maybe of discrimination and more that the government could do to open those doors for those entrepreneurs? We could start with Cedric on that.
That's a tough question.
Good.
I don't know. I come out of a kind of very particular macrocosmos where we do research in drug development, and in that particular microcosmos, I think Louisville has been a really interesting experimenting ground, if you want. In the past 10 years, the local community has done a lot of efforts, rightfully so, to work with the hospitals because the hospitals here are enormously large and represent a big chunk of the economy, and they're very, very good. And there's a lot of stimulus and a lot of drive, both from the government but also from the local professionals, to grow that into something bigger and something more important. And we benefited from that. In what we did, first of all, we had access with many phenomenal professors at the University of Louisville. When we wanted something that required government input, literally was at the tip of your fingers. You can call the mayor here and he'll probably call you back. That doesn't happen in a lot of places, right?
It doesn't happen in New York.
No.
It's kind of hard to get Bloomberg on the phone.
I know. I tried many times, but he doesn't call. And that's something that I find. I mean, I don't know for a fact that that translates to the broader cosmos as compared to drug development, but I do have that feeling here that everybody's very accessible and very interested in the community to an extent that is far greater, I find, than on the coast. I mean, in a place like New York, where you're overwhelmed by sensory input, right, at all levels, your automatic reflex is it's overwhelming, so you kind of stick to your own personal world, and it's hard to even grasp what's going on out there. Here in Louisville, if you want to, you know, get a feeling of what's going on, you can actually look at the city, look at, you know, the Broadway theaters and what's going on in terms of art, what's going on in terms of economic development, and it's all comprehensible still. And I find that.
And before you chime in, Katia, in our interview, we talked about this, the question of the fact that we maybe see the immigrant population in the city growing at a pace that isn't necessarily at the same pace we maybe see the businesses growing. Is that more of a burden or responsibility of the immigrant population itself, or is that more a reflection of what locally here the Louisville population, Louisville government needs to do more to open up those doors?
It's as I told you before, I think the governments need to do more, because in the immigrant community, there is a lot of people with a lot of talents, which, like, you have in our community, as Papa is here, we have in our community a lot of women that do hair. They're willing to open more businesses around. But the difference is there is no school here that the women can go to learn how to braid. They already have their certificates in Africa, which when they came to this country, they want to use that to open up their own businesses, which is going to help the growth in the future in the town of Louisville, state of Louisville. But it's just too difficult for the women to do that, because whenever they try, well, the city or the state will tell them they will have to go back to school to learn. To recertify and everything. But air breathing, really, there is no school here for it. The only school they have here is to use chemical. And what happened in there, they don't use chemical when they're doing hair. So I think the government needs to do more to make it more easy for those women with their talents. They will have something to do and, you know, communicate with them. So they'll be able to take care of their families as well. Because in New York, there is a lot of people that have hair salons, which, I mean, it's legal over there. But you have so many hundreds of women here, they wanted to open businesses, pay taxes, but they can't, because the city is so close on it that they will have to have certificates. And most of those women already been to school in Africa. They have the African certificate, but it's not recognized here. And I think the city have to do more about that.
Papa, you had?
Yeah, I was going to take on what Kadigatu is saying. I think it's true that what we find here as immigrant is that there's a lack of understanding of what it means and what skills we are bringing to the tables. Always, oftentimes what we see is that language is such a big barrier that people equate your level of your capacity to speak English with your level of your talent, your intelligence, and your skills. So we in our community, we have doctors. I've got a friend who was a veterinarian and even have a clinic in Africa. But when he came here, there was no way for him to start. So he started as a dishwasher working in the restaurant. We have engineers that come to the United States, but because they're not able to speak English, especially in a small city like Louisville, it's seen as someone who doesn't have that skill, and the city is losing all these talented people to just because there's no open access, there's no open forum for them to express themselves. And maybe where in a bigger city where you would come with a degree in engineering, they would do it, they would go to the effort of understanding what kind of degree it is, which field it is, as opposed to in a city where Louisville is like, you have to get your degree evaluated, and if they cannot see a direct connotation, then it's like, well, you have to go back to school. I have I've gone into an associate degree in Louisville where I already had an associate degree. So I wasted 2 years in college just learning English. Basically, that's what it was. It was just two years in college learning English, where I could have started with a bachelor's degree automatically. To go back to what Eddie was saying, there is all people with low skills. I think the migrant population is taking over on small business in the Sunset. I can say about 90% of the taxi drivers in Louisville are immigrant. Yes. Mm-hmm. On Boston Road, where I am, on a 2 mile stretch, I've identified 13 different international businesses. Kadiyatu is there, I'm there, there's another African store there, there's a Korean store there, there's a Jasmine Bakery there, a Chinese store there. So it's growing, but it's under the radar. So what happened when you have an economy under the radar is that the city is going to be losing on revenues. And we need the revenues here. We need the people to go out of the shadow and pay taxes. And I think most of the immigrants that I know myself personally want to pay taxes. It's not like we want to go underground. But if you don't have that access, then you're like, okay, well, let me just do my little thing here. And maybe someday it will show.
Certainly, so, with the shortfalls the city has faced.
Oh, definitely.
This question, and I want Eddie, you to chime in on this as well. It seems also what you were saying, Papa, about that stretch of Bargetown Road, and we talked about this in our interview about your business, Road to Morocco, being in downtown. Are there certain areas and parts of the city that are probably more welcoming or better to open an international business than other parts?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you have the Highlands, you know, or even Frankfurt Avenue. You know, the population there, the demographics are more willing to patronize, you know.
And you said demographics. Is that demographics, or is that maybe more about income, the fact that those are more affluent parts of town?
You know what? Both, I would say. Just the type of people, you know, they're looking for, you know, new concepts, new businesses, new cuisines and such. It's easy to to direct the blame to the, you know, customers, citizens, but really, what we need is to adopt the concept of glocalization, which is a, you know, think globally like we're doing, you know, think globally to welcome different cultures and be more international and all that, but that's not enough. We have to act locally, you know, by promoting and creating international events. We have one that we wait for just once a year, you know, September, but that's not enough. You know, we have to capitalize on time and place, which means we have to have more of these fairs and events and different times and throughout the year in different places. So that way we're not centralizing just that, like in the Highlands or here in Metro Louisville. We want to extend to Shelby County. We want to educate other people, but having all these fairs, moving to these areas and let them in, you know, kind of expose them, give them the approach and and of course, I'm always talking about food and hospitality and such. Could be with anything else, any type of business, of course. That's something I was, you know, very familiar with when I lived in Austria in Vienna. You know, they used to have different fairs and different you know, activities, you know, in different areas in the city. That opened up a little bit the minds and the palates and pockets, of course, you know, and people are ready. It's just the seed is there. We just need to, you know, fertilize it even more, because when you look at how many Indian restaurants we have in Louisville, about at least the top of my head, about 11 or 12 sushi restaurants. Here we're talking about you know, an area, a place where barbecue, which is a dry meat rehydrated with the barbecue sauce, but you go to sushi restaurants, you still find people. It's completely raw food, you know, uncooked and such, but people just welcome the sushi, bars and oysters, and you have so many Vietnamese restaurants and such, Mediterranean, not Moroccan, but we need more, you know, exposure. So people, the palate is developed, but needs more development.
This is a question I think that we all touched on, and Laura and I, and our producer here, when we conducted these interviews, it's something that came to my mind, and I think you touched on it, and Papa did earlier, with the issue of language. When we talk about the international community, we're talking about language, we're talking about race, we're talking about region. As you were saying, certain things are sold to us as Americans. You know, we know about Vietnamese food, we know about Chinese food, maybe don't know as much about Moroccan food as we should know. I think you all have noticed the different accents and different appearances the folks have up here. How do you all think that that has affected your time here in Louisville, not only your personal time, but your business life as well? The fact that when people first see you, they probably, as I think Cedric, you point out, they see someone and then you open your mouth and they hear the accent. But each of you are from very different parts of the world. How do you think that's impacted how your business works and how you operate in a city like Louisville, starting with Cedric?
Well, I think for me it was, you know, we talked about this in our interview as well. For Europeans to come to the United States is not, for most Europeans to come to the United States is not a big cultural shock. I mean, it was easy to adapt. I mean, I've had the good fortune of living in various parts of the world, and here's a place where the transition was really seamless. I mean, it was not something that I felt. I mean, when you have your accent and you look European, it's you know, people are interested and intrigued and all these things. I personally never felt discriminated against in this country, and that's definitely not the case everywhere. You know, there's other places where you do feel kind of a barrier that is not present here. So,
Eddie,
no, never been discriminated against, you know, because of my accent or my origins and such. But it's just, it was funny because, you know, either people consider you a prince when you say I'm from Morocco, or another Mexican or another Indian. So, because Morocco, Monaco, and or, you know, they put you completely, totally different part of the map.
So
some others, you know, make me feel great when they say, oh, you know, Morocco, Casablanca, the movie Casablanca, yeah, and such, or Road to Morocco, Bob Hope, and all that, yeah. So... those were great, great shots. You know, make me feel better. But again, it's not, you know, New York, or big cities, and so on. Morocco. When you say Morocco, oh yeah, we have a Moroccan restaurant. Actually, two. That's where you go. You have seven courses, belly dancing, blah blah blah. You know, the couscous and so on. But
so the more diverse a place, probably the more pinpointed and deeper it goes as far as the level of knowledge and diversity that
absolutely.
People say diversity, that could really mean anything. I mean, you and I are diverse by ourselves, which is two different people, but it's one thing to say diversity, it's another thing to get into the actual culture of Morocco in a more, I guess, pinpointed way.
That's correct, yeah. The big picture, we have that in this town, you know, people in terms of welcoming other, you know, cultures, in terms of knowing that you are from, you know, from the continent of Africa, or north part or so, or either, you know, an Arab or so, but knowing exactly what the culture is all about and why, what the primary language and so on, that's what need a little more work. And, you know, being in education, having a fertile mind, willing to, you know, receive, willing to learn, is better than just closed mind. And gotcha. That's something we don't have, thank God, in Louisville.
Papa, I guess continue on that line of questioning. I mean, the fact that you talked about the language barrier, but when people first see you, when they first meet you, their impression and how that's affected, I guess, your personal life, and not necessarily discrimination, but how that's affected your personal life and business life.
It affected me more in the beginning. I think the longer you stay, you find a better way to respond to people's expectation. At first, Cedric touched on it a little bit, and I think we talked about it during our interview, is that it's different when you're from Western Europe and then when you're from Africa. It's different. The perception is definitely different. Like Cedric, if he didn't open his mouth, I wouldn't know he's not American.
I'm Eurotrash.
You see? So Cedric can blend in easier than I can. So for me, people are waiting for me to open my mouth and to kind of categorize me where I'm from. And then the accent comes in. Now I say Louisville instead of Louisville. I've got a French. I should be saying Louisville because I have a French background. But just 2 months ago, I was in Davenport, Iowa, and I was talking to a lady, and they thought I had a Southern accent because I say Louisville. And I thank him, and I say, thank you all. And they all burst in laughing. Oh, he said you all. So I didn't even know there's a difference between thank you all, you all, or it's different, and the people's perception is so it varies a lot. So in the beginning, you don't know really how to take it, but as you grow into the city, you really have a better understanding. Some of the question that would come would be a genuine question about trying to find out, you know, where you're from, what brought you into Louisville, or what brought you into Louisville out of all places. You know, someone, it opens up the discussion. Instead of being frustrated, I get to a point where it's more like, okay, it's an opportunity to educate. And I think that's where we're moving. And the Louisville population is getting younger and younger. So I've met people tell me, oh, Jang is from Senegal. He plays for UofL, which is another way, another door to open up a discussion. Or you can hear someone.
You know, basketball usually does that around here.
Yeah, basketball usually does it. Yeah, exactly. Well, we have Kamara also from that plays for UK. Mm-hmm. And last time I was in Africa, I met someone who has a baseball cap. He got a UK baseball cap out of all places from UofL. He was from Louisville. So it was a very interesting discussion going all the way to Africa to meet someone from Louisville. And I think we had an opportunity. This forum, I think it's great because it has an opportunity to educate the population in general about who we are, what we bring into the table, and the reason we're here. Because people are wondering why, out of all places, we're coming to Louisville. And, well, like Khadija was saying, we are Louisvillian like anybody else. We might have a different accent. We might have a different look. But we are bringing something to the table. And we're welcoming a forum like this. You know, I see Gary here. He's all the time. He's trying to get to the community, knowing and allowing people from the community to get out of the shadow, which is I think, beneficial for the community at large.
Kariatu, we talked about this as well, the perception people have depending on where you're from, and obviously this panel shows the diversity here. Does that change depending on who you talk to? I know that, and I think, Papa, you and I talked about this as well, the perception that people have of you, whether they happen to be white or they happen to be African-American, and I think Laura and I talked about this the other day, how, you know, depending on who you spoke to, I would know that you were from Africa, I just wouldn't know what part. And then we got to the whole conversation about the frustration with people Africa, a country instead of a continent. I mean, it just gets on my nerves as a Pan-African Studies major. But anyway, does that change depending on who you talk to as well? Meaning that if you're talking to maybe a local African-American, that may be different than if you're talking to a local white Louisvillian. Does that change it at all?
Yeah, I mean, it just depends on people that you talk to sometimes. It's really hard. You know, we talked about it before, when you're from Africa and when you're from Europe, as Papa said. It's easy for people from Europe to blend in, but it's hard for us. Because when I had a restaurant, people would come. I mean, lately, one of my friends suggests, she's Black American. Oh, next time when you put in your sign, don't put African restaurant. I said, why? He said, because he's making people run away from your business. I said, no, it's not making people run away from my business. I mean, sometimes she cannot blame people according to their action. People, when they don't know stuff, you don't know. People that know, and you might surprise, Philip, there's a lot of people in Louisville that went all over Africa. know much about international food than others. So somebody that never go nowhere, you cannot expect them to know a lot about your culture. For example, when they come, some Black American comes to my restaurant, they be like, oh, African food? It's African food. I know, you know, we talked about that off the radio, right? Oh, you want to try? No, I don't think I would like it. Well, I would try and make them try. And trust me, they will come every day. It just takes one for you to get the people together and try to explain them. This is not bad at all. Like my mom and dad, Mr. Larry and Miss Joyce are here. I cook for them. They love my food. And they never question where I'm from because I think they know a lot about other countries. They've been everywhere. So if you met people that who knows a lot about the culture, then they will not have problem. But if you, there is a lot of people do not know. I meet some, a lot of people never even been to New York. So if somebody who never been to New York, how would you expect that person to know your culture?
Yep.
So it's always difficult, but as for me, it didn't change anything on me. All I try to do is try to explain to them, this is what it is. Like my kids goes to Goldsmith Elementary. When they have occasions over there, when they have literacy nights, the school will ask me, and then I will bring some food. And then they will try my food, and they like it. So they will start come and support me. So that's what you do. You just don't sit down behind closed doors or, well, people don't want to buy my food because I'm from Africa or I'm from there, and that will make you not to work hard on whatever you're doing. It's just putting you behind. But if you try to put people together and explain them, I mean, it's not bad at all. You could try for free. Maybe next time, if I let you try today for free, next time when you come, I get another money from you. And so it's just the way, you appear with people and the way you talk to people, make them to feel comfortable with you. You have to make everybody feel comfortable, even your own child. You talk to them nice, they will do good. And if somebody come to me rudely, I will not appear to be rude just because you don't know me, you don't know my culture. And what I will try to do is to make you my friend. And I have a lot of them.
That's why we need more of those, events, a taste of Africa on the first week of or first weekend, of a month. Next month will be a taste of Asia and such. And, the local administration can capitalize on so many things. Like, for example, Sullivan University, the number of students, international students, has increased dramatically. We almost have about, 1,000 students from all over the world. More of them are like 500 or 600 from India. We have students from China, from Vietnam, and so in the hotel restaurant management program, students from North Africa, from also from China and such. These are opportunities, for local government to capitalize on, and partner up with different schools like Sullivan University. There's the Office of Globalization directed by Mr. Kulkarni, Suhas Kulkarni. These are the seeds, these are the opportunities that we have to capitalize on and create something, more educational for our, citizens, and expand that knowledge, the taste. Sure. People taste, know, and that's it. The rest is just a...
Well, at this point, we'd like to open up the conversation to you all. If you have a question for any one of our panelists, please direct your question to them or all of them. Just come to the mic and make sure you say your name and then ask your question. So if anyone wants to start.
Hi, my name is Gary Liebert, and I work at the Jewish Family and Career Services. And these are great stories. I appreciate all of you coming. I have two of my clients here, which I'm really happy to see. And I wanted to talk more about your experiences with the non-governmental groups here, the private sector, universities, the library, for example, and things like that, some of the agencies that help immigrants, for example. What's been your experiences in that regard?
Kariatu, we want to start with you.
I'm lost.
So I just put you on the spot? Sorry about that.
Well, I can answer for Kariatu in the sense that we're both part of the program that Gary is mentioning with the JVC, which has helped help sustain the business and grow the business tremendously. And it worked very well. And those programs are here. I can see Sophie here on Saturdays. We have these French language meetup at the Iroquois Library. We have Michael with the GLIP. The programs are here. I was just beneficiary of a forgivable loan. Well, it goes back to government, but it's with the Urban League, and those programs are here to help small business, so small entrepreneur, whether it's a migrant entrepreneur or just entrepreneur from the city of Louvre itself. The programs are here and they're available. Most people don't know about it because, I mean, I don't know the reason why they don't know about it, but if you own a small business, when you want to start a small business, there are tremendous resources in the city of Louvre to help you start it. I mean, it is all over the place. I mean, I've been telling people, come on up, I'll guide you through these ways. We'll go together at the JVC, or we'll go with the CVC, or which also partner with the JVC, which is the Community Venture Capital, I think. Yeah. Those opportunities are here in the city of Louisville. It's just, I guess, most people don't know about it, but tremendous opportunity to start up a business and grow it. And we are grateful to the JVC definitely for helping the business when we need it the most.
Yeah, Philip, I would like to take on that about there is programs, but it's a lot of us that don't believe on the programs because the reason why we're scared. Or me, when I was starting my business, Papa here is part of my business. He was the one that encouraged me to get a loan. I spoke to my husband over there, Mamat, but we scared. A lot of us are not, you know, me, all the nerves that I have to go out there to Gary is because of Papa was pushing me to it. Because they don't put it in a way that the immigrant community will understand it. And let me tell you one thing. We, the immigrant community, we're scared of going to jail. So this is what we think. If we go over there and obtain any kind of amount of money and the business went out, what we're thinking is, oh, they're going to come get us. So there should be a way that they will explain it to us, that we will understand it. In the end, it will not harm us. Believe us, we're not here just to you know, want to get the money and enjoy it. We also want to work hard with the money to make good use of it. So there is a lot of programs. Even me, Papa, if Papa wasn't telling me, oh, you have to do this, or you, whenever I go to my husband be like, well, you don't need all these loans. You don't need this because if you get too many loans, you may not be able to pay it and it's gonna cause you a problem in the future. So I said, okay. And as Gary then, when I went there, I was scared to get a lot. I only got $2,000. And as you know, restaurant business, $2,000 is not a loan. Because I know then I can pay that. Even if they ask me tomorrow, oh, Khadija, bring the money, I will be able to bring it. So I was scared to take the maximum amount from them to put on my business. Instead, what we decided to do, me and my husband, just work the more money we make from the business, and then we put it back in the business. And I think that's a better way, too, because when you're starting a small business, you don't want to go ahead and take all kind of large amounts of money, because if you take large amounts of money, it will always be difficult for you to pay those loans because you have bills coming every month, and plus credit card bills, and plus they're going to take some money out of your account, so you always have to think. If you want to succeed in your own thing, I think you just have to work hard out of your pocket And business is great when you get in your money from your own pocket and put in there, then so you don't have no too much headaches of having loans to be paid.
And that's where I disagree with my sister here, because I think I've been here too long. I've been in the system too long. I follow the philosophy where if you lose $100,000 and you lose $10,000, it's the same. You just lost on the business. It's just the business mind talking. Is that in our community, in the African community, there is a misunderstanding of how business works in America. And because we would start business out of our own pocket and grow it, whereas here you would go take a loan and use OPM, other people's money, to grow the business. And if you're successful, then you're able to repay your loan. And it is a misunderstanding, and also it's a cultural difference. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is a big cultural difference where you start your business with your own money, whether it's $1,000 or $2,000, and you grow with it as opposed to going and getting a $100,000 loan. And you're thinking, and so many people actually think that if you default on a loan, you are going to jail.
Yeah, that's what.
And that's one of the reasons why most people don't want to take a loan. I'll take the loan.
I think we have time for maybe two more questions from the audience. If anyone has any more questions, don't be shy. Papa, you mentioned this. I want to get into this issue while we have a little bit of time left. You said the cultural difference. Is that the same across the board, or is that maybe a West African thing? Or because I think, you know, Kadiyatu, in our conversation, you were very adamant about doing this on your own, pulling yourself by your own bootstraps. And Papa, I think you have a sort of different philosophy in the sense that it's okay to use other people's money, as most people in this country do, by the way. Don't let me give that example of, like, people are just really starting their own business out here with their own money, Bill Gates. But that idea, that philosophy, is that something that we see sort of transcend different cultures, or that same maybe debate going on within cultures, even in Europe or Northern Africa?
You go ahead.
I mean, we share pretty much the same culture, the same mentality, and it's more of the economic impact. You know, we share the same economic situation. You know, throughout the countries of Africa, and different levels, of course, but the impact is the same on individuals, how they start businesses. You know, from maybe borrowing from the immediate family members and such, or to inherit something like that, but borrowing from the government or from other financial institutions, it, like Khadija said, it's like a nightmare. Like, you know, if you don't succeed, you know, so you always see that person, you know. Yeah. You know, it becomes more of a homework for a teenager than a business, you know, for an adult.
True. I guess it's a final question, and I remember at the end of each interview I asked you all what advice you would have for another immigrant entrepreneur coming to the city. I want to change that a little bit. Where do you want to see not only yourself, but the immigrant community 10 years from now here in Louisville, starting with you, Cedric?
I think, you know, I'm really an optimist. You know, I think I see everything going in a very good direction. I mean, I think when you look at, you know, like Papa said, I mean, the last 10 years, I mean, Louisville just became a fantastic city, in my opinion, much more diverse, much more cultural, better integrated. I mean, the one thing that I do that bothers me personally is the income inequality that exists in this country. I think that has taken on proportions that are very unhealthy. I mean, when we have a thriving and good middle class, everybody benefits. You know, that's kind of a standard rule that everybody knows, but doesn't get always respected. And especially here, when you look at income inequality, I mean, quite frankly, it's in a place where it's rarely been before, and that ultimately will hurt everybody. And I think, so on one hand, you have this positive trend of more diversity, I think better integration, less discrimination. And on the other hand, the danger of, you know, having to sustain that by making sure that these people do well. You know, that's we're not talking about plasma TVs and things like that. I mean, there are real poor people here, really, really poor people, and really, really wealthy people. And you know, I don't want to sound like a communist and and go to jail. But that's something we should all share and all work together. I mean, something that I find less attractive about Louisville is the difference between the East and the West. I mean, there's a real, I mean, you know, I hate to admit it, but I very rarely go to West Louisville, you know. It's not a, and I would like to, but there's this barrier somewhere.
Ninth Street Divide is what we call it here.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, I mean, but I think it's more like Fifth Street, actually.
Eddie?
And I think the concept of glocalization again, you know, we understand, you know, globalization. We just need to act locally, and we have to stay, you know, consistent and, you know, and do more, you know, in terms of, like I said, events and fairs, educations, local administration need to capitalize on all these agencies that work directly with immigrants, you know, to help them educate immigrants once they are here, at the same time help, you know, the administration to organize more events, you know, to broaden the knowledge, the exposure, so that way we have, you know, consumer and service provider ratio, you know, and balance and such.
Yeah, I think education is the key to everything.
Absolutely.
I
mean, it's,
Papa, your, I guess, vision, what you want 10 years from now, either for yourself or for the immigrant community as a whole?
Well, the last 10 years been good, really good to me. So I'm glad that I was here in Louisville, not anywhere else. For the next 10 years, I think it's just continuing on that positive trend of welcoming the immigrant. And definitely the immigrant will have a big impact in the city of Louisville. I'm starting this book. I don't know if I will ever finish it. Is that my impact in out, because I know as an individual I have a very small impact in the city, but when we talk about this larger debate in immigration, what do I bring to the table? I mean, I pay gas, I buy gas here, I pay taxes, my kids go to the schools here, you know, we pay local tax, we pay income tax, and really what is our contribution as in, for each individual into the city of Louisville, into the United States in general. And those little individual contribution in a global scale, we'll see that we have a bigger impact than most people think. And I think if the city, the initiative that you have with the Office of Globalization, if we can have forums where we bring people to the table and we can address some of these issues, like Khadija was talking about, you know, we have thousands of ladies here that want to open a beauty salon that can't do it because of the local laws. Maybe we need to adjust those laws, because whoever is there at their office and don't understand the dynamics that goes into it will make decision that will impact us without even knowing. So we need to have a place on the table to bring these issues to light and have an open and honest conversation about what it means and what we bring into the table. Mm-hmm. Because I think once we have that understanding, it will allow us all to be on the same page and have a greater contribution in the city.
Kariatu?
Well, as Papa was saying, I think 10 years from now, they just need to open more doors to the immigrants, because we're here as I said, I'm here now. We're not going nowhere. There is no way. We're not going nowhere. Most of us have our families. We have our homes. So they just open. The local government just need to open more doors to the immigrants and know that they are hard workers. They do good things to each other, to the community, as I told you before. As for us, we don't be needing a lot from the local government. When we have our own problems, a lot of people we call Papa or the old community, we get together, have our meeting, and solve our problem in between us. So, which it don't go to the government. But I think the most important thing is to open more doors to the immigrants, because they are hard workers. And they will bring a lot of good things to the community.
Well, if you want to hear more from our series on immigrant entrepreneurs, you can please visit our website at wfpl.org. I want to thank our panelists once again for coming out for this interesting and worthwhile discussion. Please give them a round of applause.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having us.
And like I said, Philip Bailey here with WFPL News. Thank you for coming out. And that's it.